Nice looking group of folks. Yeah, nice to see everybody. Good to see some of our young folks out. Yay. Yay, young people. Hey, Jess, good to see you. Yeah. We've been looking at the life of Elijah, and Elijah is about to take up a partner, Elisha. You would think that maybe because we're only really dealing with three verses today, this would be a very quick sermon. And the thing is, it's a very small portion of the narrative, but it's so important that I couldn't gloss over it. We need to think about it. And in doing so, to think about your own call, you know, there's an element of being called to be with God, being called to be God's people, God's person. Some of us are called to a vocation where everything that we do is about, you know, serving the Lord in ministry. But every person is serving God. You should be serving God wherever we are. That our whole life and existence should be about serving God. So when we think about call and that kind of thing, it should include you. It should include how you look at yourself and how you understand God interacting with you, right? So we're going to see some pretty cool elements about this issue of call and what it means to hear the call of God and to follow the call of God. In our text today, we're looking at Kings again. I remind you again that this is written at a time where the land is getting increasingly worse. What makes it worse? First of all, they're ignoring the Word of God. They are ignoring God's commission. God commanded them. He said, don't you build any idols. Don't bow to them. Don't worship them. Do not have any other gods, you know, except me, right? He said, I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt. Don't make any other gods, okay? And, of course, Jeroboam, the first king of Israel, he established those two temples, one in the north, one in the south, of idol worship, where they worshiped the calf. They were supposed to tear down the altars, right? They were supposed to destroy the altars of the people that inhabited the land, the Hittites, the Hevites, the Perizzites, all those different Amorites and different people that lived in the land. They were supposed to go in and destroy their temples, destroy their gods, and eliminate idol worship and worship of false gods from the land. Instead, their latest king, Ahab, which we've talked about quite a bit, Ahab has built a temple of Baal right in the middle of Samaria, right in the capital city, and is inviting people to worship Baal, right? And so now you have a rejection of the Word of God, a rejection of the commission of God, and the spread of idolatry, right? It is a terrible time to be in Israel, especially if you are one of the 7,000 that refuses to bow to Baal, refuses to worship at the idol centers. See, there were 7,000 we learned last time. We'll look at that in just a second. There's 7,000, the very last line in verse 18. There are 7,000 people that remained faithful in all the land of Israel. That's not a large number, a proportion. But there are 7,000 people that were dedicated to the Lord, were serving God and honoring God. One of the things you have to keep in mind when we go through these narratives is that there's a reason why God is still dealing with these people. He's dealing with them not so much because of the lost ones or hoping to get, you know, receive the lost. He's trying to support the 7,000. He's trying to encourage them to keep going, right? So what does the Lord do? In the face of all this idolatry, in the face of all this evil in the land, He is going to bring about a judgment day. He's going to bring about a day, and it says, you know, the Lord said to Elijah, this is after Elijah, remember last time, he's at the broom tree, he's discouraged. He said, Lord, I want to die. And the Lord, you know, perked him up and said, listen, son, I have a plan. I have a plan, and my eyes are not closed. I know what's going on. And he basically appoints judges. Okay, these are going to be, this is like judgment day. So the Lord says to him, go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. And when you get there, anoint Hazael, king of Aram. Anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel. And anoint Elisha, the son of Shaphat, from Abel-Melech. To succeed you as prophet. Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. The point of this is God, his eyes were opened. He knew how evil the land was. He was going to subdue the evil by anointing these three. There's Hazael is a very evil, hard-hearted, wicked king. And actually, when Elisha goes to anoint him, he weeps. He weeps because he knows what Hazael will do. He is a king of Aram, a vicious man and a vicious king. Jehu will be a king filled with blood. He will destroy entire families that belong to Ahab. He is going to bring judgment upon the house of Ahab. And Elisha is going to be one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament. You have Elijah and Elisha. You want to remember them, H comes before S. Elijah and then Elisha, okay? Elisha comes, you know, and there's a whole string of miracles that he does, and God just shows the people, again, how powerful this prophet is and that they should listen to him, okay? So we are going to hear about the call of Elisha. Elijah left. He left the place he was at, Mount Sinai, where he'd heard the voice of the Lord, where God had commanded him. And he says he went up from there and he found Elisha, the son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. So there's Elijah. You know, it's interesting what God calls. Some people say, well, you know, I can't be, you know, anything special to God because I'm only... You know, I was a baker. I was a donut baker. You want to talk about a worthless occupation, you know? You know how long donuts last? You know, about 8 hours. That's it. You know, you cut donuts, you put all your labor out there, and within 12 hours, they're all either in the trash or in somebody's belly, you know? It's like, I was a donut baker. I got friends that were bankers and different people in different occupations, right, when God called them to ministry. Here, Elijah is out plowing a field, right? You know, remember Moses? Moses was a man, when God called him, Moses said, you know, I can't even talk, Lord. I got a, you know, a stuttering problem. Please, don't, you know, you can't call me. I'm not good, you know, for this kind of work. And God got kind of irritated with him, you know, because he was forgetting who was calling him. And, you know, listen, I can use anybody. I can call anybody, right? You know, David was a shepherd. David, remember the call of David? David was, you know, he went to the house of Jesse to anoint the next king of Israel. And came in, big strapping guys, you know, there's room. Oh, yeah, that must be him. Lord says, no. And he goes right down the line. He goes to all those brothers, you know. And God told Samuel, he said, listen, Samuel, don't look at the outside. Don't look at the things that people look at. I'm not after the outside, I'm after the heart. And then comes in little ruddy-faced David, you know, fresh from the fields, and the Lord says, there is the my king. There's the one you're to anoint. And he goes and he anoints David, the shepherd boy, to be king. When Jesus was going to establish those who would be the foundational leaders of the church, right? He didn't go to the great schools of philosophy or the great schools of Judaism. He went to a lake in Galilee, right? The Sea of Galilee. And there were fishermen out there, just normal guys throwing, you know, nets out into the water. And Jesus calls them, you know, James and John and Peter and Andrew, called them to be the foundation of the church. God calls ordinary people. He doesn't need stars. Do you know that? I mean, you know, well, listen, let's face it. Who makes stars? We do. We do. You know, we pump one person up. We puff people up. We put people up on a pedestal. God doesn't need that. You know, God is God. He is supposed to be the Lord. He's supposed to be the one that we're looking to and calling on and trusting in. He doesn't need a star. He doesn't need, you know, somebody with a lot of fame. He just needs someone who will listen. Someone who will listen to the call. That's what, you know, here, here you got, you know, Elijah, an ordinary person. And the question is, will he listen to the call? Remember what he's being called to. You know, you're talking about a man who was just, you know, a little while ago running for his life, a man who the queen had sworn she would kill him, and he's running for his life, and he said, Lord, I want to die, you know? And so now you say, hey, you want to join me? You know? Yeah. He's being called to that. Will he listen to the Lord, right? That's the question. You know, there's a call that goes out. The gospel. Every ear is supposed to hear the gospel. Every ear is supposed to hear the truth about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died so that you could be changed. He died so that you could be forgiven of sin, that sin would have no power in your life, have no power in your heart, have no power to bring you down, to destroy you. Didn't say that you will never sin again. Just says that it loses its power to own you. And you have a righteousness that comes. It has power to own you. It's a transfer, right, from sin to righteousness. We hear that call, the call of God. Are we listening to it? Do we listen when God's voice speaks to us, when God says, listen, I don't want you to head in this direction. I want you to go in that direction. Do we listen to God, or are we just kind of, not in my plan, not in my day, not my desire. You know, one of the things about God is when He calls us to something new. He doesn't call us just to go in our own same way, to be our same self, to be, going in the same direction. And I have to tell you, I've been following God's call for over 30 years. And when I think back of what I was and what I left and all that, was behind in that direction that before I was called, I praise God. I do. I thank God that, that He called me and that, that I was able to listen to Him and follow His direction, because it changed my life so drastically. It changed it so dramatically. But at first, we had to listen. We had to listen to the call. I know a lot of people that have had their lives changed by listening to the call of God. And here it is, this guy is out doing his daily work. He's behind the plow. He's doing what he was raised to do, to farm. And Elijah comes up to him and he takes off his jacket, right? And he goes up behind him and he takes his jacket and he throws it on his shoulder. Bam, there you go. And that was a symbol and a sign to Elijah. He knew what it meant. It meant that he was calling him. It meant that he was calling him to be, a servant, to follow Elijah. Remember what I just said. Elijah had just not too long ago been crying out, God, kill me. It's all over, right? It was a tough battle. He was going to a land that was filled with idolatry, a land where there was an evil king and an evil queen, and the queen had sworn to kill the guy that just put his coat over him. Do you think he would obey? Do you think he would listen? Again, when God calls us, it can be kind of a scary thing, in the sense of this means change. I think sometimes people don't like the idea of change. They don't like the idea of rearranging the way they think, rearranging their life around the call of God. But that's what it takes, doesn't it? It means that we can't take, life the way most people do, where it's on our own terms. We can't take life, as casually as some people do, just eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. We live every day with a knowledge of God, with a sense of duty to God, a sense of wanting again to honor God, but also a sense of there's a purpose in my life that is in God's hands, not in mine. And I can't determine what I am going to be and what God wants me to do. I have to be a servant, not the leader. I can't ascribe our desire to be king, to be Lord, if I'm going to listen to the call of God. I have to be more humble and listen and say, you're Lord. I'll listen to you. I will do what you ask. Elisha was being asked to, you know, leave everything that he knew behind and to follow a man that might lead him to death, because again, the environment was so negative towards, you know, truth, towards the Spirit of God and the power of the prophet, that you know, he could very well be headed towards his death. The king and queen had sworn to kill them. And you can't, in those days, that meant, you know, you were wanted, not dead or alive, but dead. And so he gets this mantle put on him. God, through Jesus Christ, has put a mantle on us. He calls us to something. You know, if we remember, if we think about what you know, it means to come to Christ, what it means to hear Christ. Christ has said to us, you know, I died for you so you can follow me. And you know, yet at the same time, he says, you know, if you follow me, you must take up your cross, deny yourself, and then follow me. It can't just go on the same way. And that's what happened here. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. Let me kiss my father and my mother goodbye, he said, and then I will come with you. Go back, Elijah replied. What have I done to you? That line, you know, I've taken it a couple ways, but one is it, you know, what have I done to you? And the answer is he hadn't done a thing to him. Elijah didn't do anything, right? Why? Because Elijah was told by God to go call Elisha. It wasn't Elijah who called Elisha. It was the Lord God who called Elisha, you know? And he's basically saying, he says, you know, you're not mine. You're the Lord's. I learned this sometime in ministry for a while. You know, sometimes churches and pastors, they get a little crazy with stuff, you know? They start thinking, oh, you belong to me. You know, you're mine because you come here. Now you're mine. You know, this is my church, my people. No. You belong to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one that paid the price. Jesus Christ is the one who died for your sins and rose for your righteousness. Jesus Christ is your King and your Lord, you know. And that's why I'm not going to tell you what you need to do except for to tell you to listen to Christ. I'm going to tell you to listen to what Jesus said. I'll tell you listen to what Jesus would tell you to be, and then you're going to be all right, you know. But too many times people get confused about who saved them, or what it means to be saved, or what it means to be a part of the church. The church is not just, you know, it isn't this. The church is everything under the head of Jesus Christ. It's everything under the lordship of Jesus Christ. He is the head. We are the body. And we must listen to the head equally in order to be part of the body. Elijah, I think, is saying to Elisha, what did I do to you? You're telling me you want to go back? You know, you do what you think you need to do, because I'm just doing what the Lord told me to do. And I called you, I put the coat on you, you know, that's it. That was my part. You know, I think about Ananias who went to pray for Paul. You know, it's the one thing we know that Ananias was told to do. He was said, go pray for Paul. And he said, but Lord, this guy kills Christians. He says, go do what I told you. So he did. He went and he prayed for, you know, Saul, who became Paul, right? And after that, it was up to Paul to be Paul. It wasn't, you know, he said, okay, now I have to obey the Lord. When God calls you, you have to obey the Lord. If you're receiving the call of God, if you're hearing the call of God, you have to say in your heart, yes, it is the Lord. It isn't the pastor who first preached to me. It isn't the guy who taught me the ABCs of the Bible. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who called you. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who wants you to be a part of the body. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that tells you how to live your life out, what's important for you to be, what's important for you to do. We have to be aware that pastors are not God. Believe me, anyone close to me knows that. But pastors are not God. The only thing that we can do that's of any benefit is to obey God, to share the Word of God, to proclaim the truth of God, that God by His Spirit and power might speak to your heart and tell you, and so go do this. You know, that's it. So what did Elisha do? Elijah says, what have I done to you? And he goes back and he tears up his yoke of oxen. Right? That's the plow piece and the thing. You know, all basically his tractor. All right? He goes and he tears up, he breaks up all the wooden pieces and he piles them up and he makes a fire. Then he kills the animal and he cooks them up and he feeds his family. And he's saying goodbye. He's saying goodbye to his old life. He's saying goodbye to his old industry. He's saying goodbye to who he was and he's saying hello to what God called him to be. In the same way, you know, Jesus went up to the fishermen and he said, you know, come follow me. And what does it say? They dropped their nets. They dropped their industry. They dropped their old life and they followed after Jesus. Every one of us who hears the call of the gospel, we should drop the old life. We should drop the old man. We should drop the old ways. We should drop the old sins. And we should turn our heart towards the direction that Christ has called us and leave all that behind. I really think it's fitting that he burned it. You can't put that back together. You know, you can't. You can't. And woe to us if we try. Woe to us if we try to put back together the life that we left behind when Christ called us out, when Christ called us to be something different, when Christ called us to be a part of His glorious kingdom. You know, it's not like I want the kingdom, but now I'm going to see if I can hold on to this whole life too. Too much of that going on in the world. Too many messages about, you know, what God really wants is you to have your old life. You don't find that in Scripture. When God calls, you know, people leave the old life and move towards the new life. They leave behind the things of the world. In this case, it was simply a job, you know. Now, again, I remind you, he was called to ministry full time. That's one level. I was called to ministry full time. I was called to be a pastor. I knew I was a preacher within 6 weeks of being saved. I knew that's what God wanted me to do. I had worked for years in my father's donut businesses and stuff, and after I'd been preaching for a while, my dad offered me a donut business. He said, I'll give you one of the stores, the West Store, good store. So I'll give you that business. But you know, you don't go and you don't take up your old life and say, I'll do both. My dad disappointed him terribly, but I said, Dad, I can't do both. I'm either going to follow Christ or I'm going to do that. And I said, I'm following Christ. Sometimes it's old habits that need to drop. Sometimes it's old things that need to be let go of. I can't tell you what it is in your life because I am not your God. I am not your Lord. But I can tell you the truth of Scripture is this, that when people come to Christ, they leave things behind. When people come to God, they drop old things and they go towards new things. When people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, they don't have their mind set on the things down here, but they set their affections on things that are above and things that are forward and things that are hopeful, the kingdom of heaven. Elisha destroyed his old life. Peter dropped his nets with the other guys, and they walked and followed the Lord. Right? Have we heard the call of Christ? Have we heard it, you know? No one ever said it'd be easy. We're studying the book of Acts on Wednesday nights. Anybody find those fishermen having a really good time? You know, they're preaching the gospel, they're praying, they're, you know, seeing God do great things, but they're also being dragged into court and threatened and beaten, you know. But they wouldn't trade it. They wouldn't have traded it for anything in this world. You know, it's not easy to follow the call of God. I mean, this man again was faced with a potential of the government wanting to destroy him. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to follow the call of God. I'm going to leave behind everything that's not a part of that. I'm destroying it, putting it out of my life, and moving towards God. Moving towards God. Have you heard the call of God to that extent, to where you've made a decision to leave things behind that aren't from God and moving towards the things that are from God? Have we listened to the call of God to the point that we submit to Him, we listen to Him, we want to hear His voice? I want to hear God tell me, do this, don't do that. Go this way, not that way. I want to hear that, because then I'm in a good place with God. That's the call. That's the call of God. The end result of it is the most awesome existence that you can have. The end result of it is a walk and a presence with God in your life, in your home, in your work, in anything that you do. It is being with God, being God's person. Folks, I just pray for us that we have heard God, that we know the things that God has said, just tear it up, leave it behind, and go in this direction now with me. Go in this direction with me. Father, I pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ that indeed You will help us all, Lord, to constantly seek Your voice, to hear those things that You want us to do and to be. Guide our steps, mighty God, and I pray, Father, those things that we've destroyed behind us, we would leave them there and we continue to walk with You. Guide our hearts, guide our minds, keep us, Almighty God, in Your hand. It is a glorious and wonderful thing, Father, to follow You. It is a glorious and wonderful thing to be called by the living God. It's an awesome life. And I thank You for it. And I thank You for all my brothers and sisters here who have heard Your call. All my brothers and sisters who have let things go and now count them as nothing. As the Apostle Paul said, I count it all as nothing compared to the surpassing glory of knowing Christ. I pray, Father, indeed, that You will just have that heart in us, that we would want to be Yours, follow You, leaving behind those things that aren't of You, and hearing Your call and going in Your direction. I thank You for everyone who has that heart and mind. I thank You, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.